Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, zip up your leather pants, slap on the clown paint, and don't forget to eat something light as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis.
Doggone it.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove, and I'm joined, as always, by my pal, Mark Matzke.
Are you feeling a little better than when we started?
Yeah, I am, actually. Episode? Now I'm good, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I'm good now.
That's great.
Yeah. Did you mean... How I felt the last episode?
No, like right at this very moment.
Oh, yeah.
At first, it seemed a little...
I get blue.
Blue. Yeah.
I'm blue. Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi. This is the official podcast of Small Town Monsters. Small Town Monsters, of course, makes documentaries about paranormal subjects around the United States. If you are a listener, you're probably sick of us talking about mysteries and monsters at the Canton Palace Theater starting March 21st. And ending March 21st. It's an all-day event at the Canton Palace Theater in Canton, Ohio. Tickets are $12. We are showing two movies, and then we're premiering the entire On the Trail of UFOs miniseries at the event. You can come down and meet the entire Small Town Monsters crew, along with Shannon LeGros and Lyle Blackburn. Lyle and Shannon will also be giving talks throughout the day about various phenomena. I'm thinking Lyle's talking about Bigfoot, and Shannon's doing sort of an all-encompassing look at some of the scary stories she's taken on her show Into the Fray over the years. So you can come down, take part in the Q&As. You can listen to them. There's going to be vendors there. We'll be there. Mark and I will be there. We might even do some sort of live. We say this and then we never do it. Yeah. Might even do some sort of live show from the event or something like that. So, tickets are $12. You can also get tickets for just the back half of the event, which is the On the Trail of UFO screening. And those are going to be $6. CantonPalaceTheater.org will have all your ticket information. You can also follow us on Facebook and go to the event page on there. February coming up sooner than that, February 6th, we are launching the 2020 Small Town Monsters Kickstarter. You can back and get a ton of cool stuff, including the book that we talked about in the last episode. There's a retrospective coffee table book. There's a 5-year anniversary t-shirt, Blu-rays, DVDs, posters, all sorts of stuff. There's a statue designed by Gene St. Jean. That launches February 6th. You can also, on February 6th, take part in the Facebook Live launch party for the Kickstarter. The entire STM crew does that. You can join us and ask us questions and take part in giveaways. And Mark's going to get some sort of trivia thing together. We're going to do a lot of stuff. So that launches at 6 or 7. Now I can't remember.
7.
7 p.m. We launch a little early, I think, mm-hmm. usually, so people can actually see us hit the launch button on the Kickstarter and immediately go back. So this is going to be our fourth launch party
in this format. Yeah.
Yeah. That you can take part in. It's our sixth Kickstarter, which seems pretty crazy.
That is wild.
So you can back and get a ton of cool stuff. Even if you're not going to back, join us for the Kickstarter launch party.
Yeah. Question about the Canton Palace event. Would it be fair to say that if you vote, you're kind of voting with your attendance?
Yes.
If you want to see something like this,
yeah,
take on a...
We get asked pretty frequently about an event, a Small Town Monsters event. And we used to do the Minerva Monster Day event. But the problem with Minerva Monster Day was that we had no help from the community. We had not, that's false. We had help from the community. We had a lot of very happy, like generous, supportive people in the community who wanted us to do Minerva Monster Day. There were people in power who were not doing anything to help. And the problem is when you're doing something like that at a free event like that, you're going to lose a ton of money. And that's where we were at. We were paying to bring in speakers and stuff, and we were losing too much money for me to keep doing it. So what we want to do is we would love to do more things like Mysteries and Monsters. Yes. And I actually have ideas for how we can do this beyond just Ohio. Like we could potentially take it on the road. So if you are interested, show up, let us know how you like it.
Does that, involve an RV?
Yes, hopefully. That is the ultimate dream. The real goal of Small Town Monsters is to one day own an RV and travel around the United States.
Kind of like a sideshow almost.
Yeah.
We'll just roll up in, what do you call it?
Yeah.
Fairgrounds areas.
Kind of like snake oil salesman. Yeah, that's us.
Shoot.
Okay, so we got an email. We're going to use this email as a springboard for this entire episode of Monsteropolis.
Yeah, it was part of, you know, we put the call out for questions for the question and answer episode. And this one happened to relate to something we were already thinking about doing. So this is a letter from a listener named Jarrett Raminski, and you may recognize that name because back in the day, Andy and I did an episode based on an article that he wrote for Skeptic magazine called Man-Made, and it was all about the Bigfoot phenomena. So
being man-made?
Yeah, yes. In some ways, his article...
How was, dare you?
Was, it was a complimentary to some of those books like Bigfoot.
Greg Long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joshua Blue Views. Mm-hmm. And
I read that one.
Takes a skeptical look at the whole history and was very well done. Mm-hmm. So, and we got, as you would imagine, some very interesting feedback on that particular episode. But I'm always really happy to hear from Jarrett. And, he has a really insightful
Mark,
take
would you,
on things.
Would you sort of classify yourself as an ardent debunker?
No, I don't think so. I could probably come off as that, though.
I mean, saw you on Twitter with Sharon. Oh, crap.
Oh, Sharon Hill.
Sharon Hill's book.
Yes.
Scientifical American.
Scientifical. Yes, we have to do... I think she would come on the show if we asked her.
I think so too. Yeah, we got to get her on here.
And it's really well done. I guess it's weird because I break towards that type of reporting or analysis, I guess. And every time I end up, like when I've watched On the Trail of Bigfoot, for example, and what I say at the end, I come off as like, I don't believe any of this at all.
Yeah.
And why are we even talking about it? And I would say
you're more open to a lot of the stuff than I am.
Yeah. It's paradoxical because on one hand, I really ride with the skeptics and I'm like, show, you know, where's the proof and let's be as analytical as we can. But at the same time, I do entertain just about anything in terms of trying to find an explanation. And I'm sort of caught in the middle somewhere. So anyway, that's... Jarrett's letter reads as follows. Hi, guys. Happy New Year from a listener who's been a fan since the beginning. I'm wondering, where do you see the immediate future of Bigfoot research going over the next few years? I enjoyed you featuring groups like the Ohio Night Stalkers and the NAWAC in On the Trail of Bigfoot, which is a wonderful series, by the way. But, of course, physical evidence that might reveal the existence of a real creature beneath the cultural phenomenon remains elusive. So where does the phenomenon go from here? Would love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Thanks so much, Jarrett.
Hell in a handbasket. It's this, you know,
spoilers.
Yeah, it's like we said in the last episode. This is my favorite topic, and it's the one that I come back to the most consistently. But it has very little any more, if anything, to do with the investigators that are sort of, I guess, the mouthpieces of the social media community. So, like with ufology, there's so much negativity flying around, and it isn't just the negative. It's kind of everything, and it's funny because I think I'm going to contradict myself a lot in this episode, because, you know, I'm talking about negativity, and then I was going to immediately start talking about how I can't stand the blob squatch photos, mm-hmm. and the guys that go out in the woods and sit there waiting for something to happen with their beer or whatever. But that's being negative. But it is like one of the great, I think this is stated in On the Trail of Bigfoot, actually, is like the contradictory nature of being into this. It's into the subject itself. Like, it's a part of being interested in the subject of Bigfoot. It's all very contradictory. Mm-hmm. I
think even skeptics, like hardcore skeptics, will admit to that.
Yeah.
Like, they'll say there's a part of them that loves the idea and has been sort of romanced by that from a young age.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're holding onto the other side of their brain, which is saying, well, but where is, how can we know?
Yeah.
You know, show us the evidence.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't even know where to begin on answering this, because like to me, you know, like I still ride or die with the NAWAC, mm-hmm. in terms of, I believe that that's the group that I'll end up with the proof if it exists. I think I think those guys will get it. I think the reason they'll get it, this is going to sound like a backhanded insult or just a straight ahead insult, but I think the reason they'll get it is they're too dumb to quit. And I've talked about this with filmmaking. It's an insult, but it isn't an insult. Like, there is a certain amount of just pushing away any of the things that make sense and just pushing forward with what your mission is.
It's devotion.
It's devotion to the, it's like how I am with movies, in terms of like, you're too dumb to know to stop. And I hope they wouldn't listen to that. I hope they understand what I'm saying here. It's spending time with those guys, they're not going to quit. Daryl's not going to quit. I don't think Brian's going to quit. I don't think Alton's going to quit at this point. They will continue going out there for large periods of their free time and attempting to get at the bottom of the mystery. And I think that in itself, trying to get at the bottom of the mystery, is what is severely lacking in Bigfoot quote unquote research today. Like, it's pretty much all about maintaining the mystery, you know, like, we like the mystery. Like, I mm-hmm. love the mystery,
yeah.
But there aren't many researchers or investigators out there who are actively trying to solve what's going on. You know, you've got the NAWAC. I think you've got the Olympic Project. Mm-hmm. Although, like, they're not really out there trying to prove they exist either. Like, they're trying to identify patterns and, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully have some interaction and stuff like that. But honestly, man, even the only group that I can point to and say these guys every single day are doing something to push the needle toward proof, that's the NAWAC. Like, show me another group that is their ultimate objective. Mm-hmm. Can you? That's a legit question.
Right.
I don't think that's the Olympic Project's ultimate mission. I think they've said that that isn't really
right on record. They've said,
yeah,
you know, we're not trying to prove it. We know.
Yeah.
Because of their personal experiences, and what they're trying to do is gather data. Like you said, find patterns in certain things that suggest.
Yeah.
Their existence, but they're,
yeah, that's,
they're not trying
that's
to prove no, it right. in the same way that
it's not a knock on them. It's just an right. observation of the ultimate goals being mm-hmm. being different. I just don't see another group other than the NAWAC who are doing that and trying to take a scientific approach to it. Mm. You know,
and I guess I really thought a lot about my answer to this. And it turns, ultimately, you know, to answer the precise question, where do you see the immediate future of Bigfoot research going over the next few years, I would have to say nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's 100% true.
Because, and here's why, it's
we're going to get hate mail.
Well, point. Maybe, but it's the function of two things. Mm-hmm. Number one is funding.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this around, you know, on the edges of things for a long time.
Yeah.
To actually do the type of research that would prove or disprove the existence of a creature, somebody has to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I can't think of any scientifically backed expeditions that are going on right now.
Yes.
I don't think there are any. What you have to do is have someone bankroll
yeah.
that type of endeavor. And that does not exist, to my knowledge.
Now, the Olympic Project is bankrolled.
Okay.
Wally.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Hersham? Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So they're bankrolled. But right. I know what you mean. Like, it's not like the days of Tom Slick.
Right.
Where you had scientifically minded expeditions going out specifically with the objective of let's prove these things mm-hmm. are real.
Mm-hmm. So it's that coupled with the fact that if you don't have adequate funding, then the people who are doing this are amateurs.
Yes.
And I'm not using that term in a pejorative way, but I just mean they can't do this as their life work. You know, they're holding down some other type of employment
yeah.
to make ends meet. And with the other time that they have left over, which I'm sure involves other responsibilities and family and so forth, the time that's left over after all of that, they can devote to whatever quote unquote research they can fit in.
The Bigfoot community needs a Tom DeLonge. And I say that in the way that we've talked about Tom and like not knowing what his ultimate goals are here and mm-hmm. thinking he's a little clueless when it comes to his own place as you're not a kid, Tom. Quit talking about yourself like you're the mouthpiece for children. But it needs someone that is going to push the push to get funding to actively be looking into the subject in a serious way. You know, like UFOs aren't all that different from Bigfoot in terms of the research wasn't taken any more seriously that was going on with UFOs than it was Bigfoot until 2017 when TTSA comes around and we know that the Navy's looking at UFOs and all of a sudden everything changed. And now you've got, I would argue that there's probably more people in government interested in the UFO or in the Bigfoot subject than there are UFOs. If you can get some of those people involved, if someone can get some of those people involved and seriously look into this, you might stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
In fact, I know that's yeah. not going to happen. It's just yeah. not going to happen.
I think the closest thing that the Bigfoot community has to something like that is Jeff Meldrum.
Mm-hmm.
As far as yeah. Media presence is concerned, coupled with a credentialed background. But even having said that, I know that, from what I understand at least, that he faces tremendous pressure and scrutiny
yeah.
from within academia just for going as far as he's gone.
Yeah, and for the people that are on Facebook that share the Blobscotch photos and circle stuff with red pens and all that stuff who claim it's just fun and that's, you're part of the problem. Like the reason that he isn't taken seriously is what is in the mainstream, what is acknowledged or known about the Bigfoot community in the mainstream. It's one of the reasons I haven't been, we should talk about that Expedition Bigfoot show, but it's one of the reasons I haven't been as hard on that show as I have on some of the other ones. There's the sense outside of the community that's all it is. It's people that sit on their computer and they circle photos and pareidolia is running rampant.
That's
all it is. But I mean, I can tell you like something threw rocks and screamed at me mm-hmm. in the woods that was not pareidolia.
Right.
So like there is a reality to this, but unfortunately when the loudest sort of contingent of Bigfootery is the people sitting there on their computer circling, you know, photos and saying that Bigfoot is hanging out in their backyard and they're feeding them pancakes at night, like that damages the entire subject. So, you know, I get it. Like, I get that there's people that want to simply have something to do, and they have an interest in this, and that's their thing to do. Like, they're going to get on Facebook and they're going to talk to other people, and they're going to get really defensive of their opinions, and they're going to circle photos, and they're going to claim interaction with a squirrel as being interaction with a Bigfoot. And so I get it, but that does hurt the entire mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah. It hurts the entire thing. I forget. I went back to Meldrum's book, you know, Sasquatch Legend Meets Science. Mm-hmm. I think this is where I'm pulling this, but I was also looking at Robert Michael Pyle's Where Bigfoot Walks. Oh, also.
That. Yeah, I love that book.
Awesome book. And from one of those sources, it was sort of a aha moment for me. I mean, this has been something that even John Green touched on as well. And it's the idea that science as an institution has already looked at the Bigfoot phenomena and decided that it's not worth looking into.
Sure.
And that, I mean, that's extremely basic thing to say, but the aha moment with that is that's why we're in the situation we are in now, is that those who could produce funding and teams and equipment and all manner of things to help in the search have decided in their wisdom, quote unquote, that it's not worth looking into. And that's not a vacuum. I mean, they move on to other projects then and other endeavors. There's no one sitting around in the scientific community saying, I wonder what I should research today. Bigfoot, that nobody's proven that yet. That the train has left the station, mm-hmm. I guess. And that was what John Green was concerned with, you know, and you read towards the end of his, you know, Apes Among Us, he says, we've got to try and get science's attention. And I think, sadly, that's failed.
Yeah.
And it's gone. It's
I was going to say, it's not going to turn around at this point. The only hope at this point is that someone like the NAWC or the Olympic Project or the Night Stalkers or someone mm-hmm. happens upon proof.
Correct.
And the odds of that ever happening are very slim mm-hmm. because if these things exist, they're very elusive and they know to stay away from us, I think. You know, like if it's a real like bilot, jeez. Sorry, listeners. I always forget to like unhook that from this stupid thing, and I can never remember how to do it. No, I don't want to do that. Oh God. Okay, okay. Never mind. But yeah, we're in a weird position as a community because I just don't see, I don't see evidence of any of this ever being. Not ever, but certainly not anytime soon being presented because of the inherent obstacles that we're going to run into with what we're doing. And, you know, pop culture plays a role in, it's weird. We've also talked about this. Pop culture plays a role in hurting and helping the subject. Mm-hmm. And that would stretch to Small Town Monsters mm-hmm. because what you're looking at is, and I mean, some ways Momo was kind of about this. Like it wasn't about this, but it was about the nature of the way the subject is presented in the mainstream is so far off base from what actual experiences are that I don't know that people in the mainstream even understand what a real Bigfoot encounter is. It doesn't help when you have podcasts sort of leading the current trend in the subject to be this, like, it's a terrifying monster in the woods that's going to behead everyone mm-hmm. and it's stealing your children, because rational, sane, scientific people know the same thing I know, which is that if that were the case, humankind in America anyway would be obsolete. You couldn't go in the woods. You'd be devoured by apes.
No one would come back.
You wouldn't come back. No one would ever come back. Mm-hmm. So the idea that these things are you know, behind all the missing people or that all comes down, by the way, from one specific venue. And I'm aware of who it is, and if you are a listener and know what I think of that venue, then you are probably aware of who I'm talking about. But pushing an angle is part of the problem too. You know, and I mean, the stories STM focuses on in our movies, we're picking the scary ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you pick the most interesting, scary sort of stories to tell. Right. And that's, so we have a part in that too.
Mm.
So now not with On the Trail, I think On the Trail of Bigfoot, we kind of eschewed that and went toward, you know, the historical stuff and,
sure.
and the stuff that is more about the phenomenon.
Right. But when you lead with Ape Canyon, I mean, that's,
oh yeah. You know? Yeah. You lead with the scary.
And you can't help it. I mean, that's the story.
Well, it's part of the lore of reported. The subject too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the difference too is like we're not really, I don't think we're pushing that. We're simply retelling those things. My issue is with people that have an agenda to seemingly want to, you know, create the scary horror Bigfoot. And that causes the scientific community to take the whole thing less seriously. Because it really does just come across as a scary bedtime story then.
What was striking was at the conclusion of Meldrum's book, he essentially says, what we have to go on is track casts. And, you know, he spends a lot of time on the Skookum cast. Evidently, something rolled around on the ground. He makes sort of an oblique reference to Patterson-Gimlin film, although he deals with that in a whole chapter in the book.
Mm.
And then eyewitness accounts, which when you take that together, I mean, still, the track casts, I will maintain, are what has to be dealt with. It's really the only thing, if you're going to, in terms of a body of data,
mm-hmm.
it's tracks. I mean, hair has always been pretty much inconclusive, as you know, because you have nothing to DNA it against, really. Yeah. So, and that's Meldrum's forte, is the casts and the bone structure sort of building off of Grover Krantz. But that's pretty sobering for like the biggest scientific proponent of considering that Bigfoot is possible is essentially saying we've got tracks to look at. There's a few compelling pieces of video evidence and there's eyewitness testimony.
See, I would argue that Bigfoot will never die. The popularity of the subject will never die. Mm-hmm. However, I do think the golden age of real honest to goodness searching for proof is over. I don't think that is going to, I'm sure it'll come back in small doses, but I don't think we're ever going to have the John Greens and Grover Krantz's and Rene de Hinden's. We're not going to have guys like that. We've got Meldrum now. I would argue someone like Cliff would argue against me because he knows he's not academically in the same ballpark, but I would argue that someone like Cliff is a big, he's a good person to have out at the front of the subject. Shows like, I wanted to get to that Expedition Bigfoot show. So I've watched all four or I think they've only put out four episodes, maybe five. I haven't watched the Red Eyes episode. There's a Red Eyes episode that just came out. I've been watching it and it is reality TV. It's ghost hunting with Bigfoot and there's an audience for that. And that's the audience they're trying to get. I have appreciated the fact that it is a fairly straightforward look at real research. I'm trying to think of how to say this without mm-hmm. over, I don't want to overpraise the thing, but they're not, you know, Finding Bigfoot was geared toward children and families. All right. So you've got, I know people still rag on that show because like Dancing in the Woods and all this stuff. I get it. And I think that show probably did as much to help as hurt the subject. I think in the long run, it'll probably do more to help because I think a lot of the kids that watch that show are going to stay interested in that show. And we've talked about that before.
And want to go out.
Yeah. And want to go out. I also think that show might hurt the credibility in the eyes of some of the scientific community mm-hmm. and people like that. However, this show is very much geared at adults and it is, the frustrating thing for me is I've watched Unidentified, which I thought was a really great show. The Tom DeLonge produced UFO show.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a show called Contact on Science Channel, I think it is. And those are both sort of, maybe military minded you know, sort of like looks at UFOs with pretty sane, rational people in front of the camera. And that's what I appreciate about Expedition Bigfoot, is there's sane, rational people that are in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. They do ridiculously over the top things that fly in the face of that. And that is so far my biggest issue with the show is, like, I mean, there's a scene where, like, Russ is climbing down the side of a mountain and you're supposed to believe he's alone. And I'm like, well, there's a camera guy with a camera on him. Anyone, you know, like there's over the top things on it that sort of ruin the illusion anyway, that this is a ground boots on the ground kind of show. So get rid of that stuff and give it a second season. And I could see that show being really good. It's like the best investigative parts of Mountain Monsters, or not Mountain Monsters. Good Lord. Definitely not Mountain Monsters. Huh. Speaking of Mountain Monsters, Wild Bill's supposed to come up here sometime, hang out with us. He's through Wadsworth all the time.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just throwing that out there. He lived in Rittman for a while.
Get out of
here. Yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean is, it's like the better investigative segments of Monster Quest spread out for an entire show. That's that's how it feels. And I like that it is pretty straightforward. I would highly recommend a couple things. One is stop making it so obviously scripted. Like there's moments that are too obviously scripted or storyboarded or whatever. You know, like, this is always my biggest issue with reality shows like this in general, investigative shows, is like it's too clearly faked. Like, if you're gonna fake it, make it less obvious. You know, like, you've got Bryce Johnson, who's a good actor, delivering bad lines unrealistically. Like, I don't know how else to say it. I am enjoying the show to an extent, which is surprising to me, because I don't really care for a lot of Bigfoot shows. I've talked about, I like the Survivor Man Bigfoot thing. I enjoy Finding Bigfoot still. I own every season on Amazon for kicks. Mostly, honestly, my favorite thing about Finding Bigfoot has always been the town hall meetings and listening to to the witness interviews.
Yeah.
That's what I like about that show. And I like the fact that the show, I didn't care for the first episode as much of Expedition Bigfoot, but they get into the second episode and they start mixing in other things, like the interview with Meldrum and things like that. That's what you need to really keep that interest. It's a good show. It could be great. It's a decent show. It could be a great show if they steer clear of some of the reality show stuff. The other thing, when I was talking about the negativity of the community, this is where a lot of this is coming from lately. I see a ton of negativity aimed at, like, Ronnie and Russ and Bryce, and her name's like Mariah or Mira. A lot of negativity, unkind things said about them as people, and
just strictly because they're on
this show. And a lot of it's jealousy, because the Bigfoot community is really driven by people who want to be on TV.
And
they're upset that they're not the ones that are on TV. So, this has nothing that's wrong with this show is in any way these people's fault. So clear the deck of that nonsense. Like, it has nothing to do with Russ and those guys. They're fine. That they're people that were asked to be on a show that said yes. And any of our listeners, or people that want to be on a show would have done the same. I wouldn't.
that would be entertaining, to say the least.
What?
To have you added to the cast of some reality.
Well, we were, Bigfoot show. I mean, that the show we just turned down with, that production company, the one we turned down to do the Adam show was that it was going to be us filming movies and they were going to follow us and we were going to go look for monsters.
Yeah.
I still hold that there's just too much of that. Mm-hmm. Like, just, man, tell the stories.
Well, just the idea of some producer giving you a story beat.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I could do it. I really don't think I could do it. Like, the thing where Russ is climbing down the side of this mountain and he's going, I'm alone out here.
Yeah, rappelling down
there. There's at least a camera guy, probably a sound guy, probably another guy with a light. I mean, you got those three guys if you go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely issues with the show. I mean, they're, you know, they're the first guy, the RPG guy, Ryan, I think his name, they call him RPG, which just makes me laugh because I just think about Call of Duty. He gets a headache, a migraine headache, and they're trying to blame it on infrasound. Like, if that's the case, man, I could blame infrasound for everything that happened to me in Area X, where I had a migraine for like two straight days I couldn't get rid of.
Boggy.
Yeah. It's
Chestnut Ridge.
Right. It's not, headaches happen, guys. So let's get over some of this. But you know, as a show, it's a fine show. I wish people in the community would quit attacking each other. There was another thing that happened recently. There was a someone we both know, a female researcher, was named investigator Bigfooter of the year or something, and people lost their minds and they started calling her all sorts of names on Facebook. This stuff happens like constantly. You know, like it's a strange community. It's so small compared to something like UFOs,
right,
that it's especially volatile when it goes off.
Yeah. No, and I just want to return to an earlier point that you made. I just want to
keep talking about how terrible everyone
I know. And I think reality TV is part of it. And it's just the idea, and I thought this is insightful, was when people go out like Bigfooting, quote unquote, today, it's for the experience of Bigfooting as opposed to necessarily evidence gathering. And I think that's the big difference. And again, in response to Jarrett's letter, that's the big shift that's happened, is that most of the people who are going out today are going out for the experience of it, hopefully to hear something or see something.
Right.
But I don't know that they're necessarily looking to collect data, or would even that would even be meaningful because of the amount of time that they do not have to spend doing it.
Right.
Maybe they get a track or part of a track, or they find some strange hair and they do that once. They're just looking to repeat that experience the next time they go out, but they don't have nearly enough time to devote to creating a set of data or something of that nature. And I think that's an inherited thing from the reality TV. You kind of want to, you know, if you're a little kid and you watch Finding Bigfoot, you want to go to your state park with your dad. Mm-hmm. And maybe do some Bigfoot calls and see what comes back. And then that's about it. I mean, you go home and go back to your life. So
it's fine.
It's fine.
That's fine.
But I believe that's the state. That's the overall of where we are. And in the near future, I don't see anyone. It's not
going anywhere.
It's not going to change. So that's a little depressing. What a hopeful episode.
Yeah. I, you know, like we talked, this is a theme that is talked about in On the Trail of Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Like, despite that fact, it is every bit worth your time to get outside. And
yes,
if you're interested, go try to experience something. Mm-hmm. I can tell you just from the one thing I experienced, it's completely changed my perception of the subject. Like, my wife mistakenly referred to me as a believer recently, and I'm still not there. I mean, I'm 80% that these things are real.
Yeah.
Maybe 85, but it doesn't override all the questions I have as to how they'd exist. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to have this. Heck, if we prove they're real, I'm still going to have all these questions. Sure. Why didn't we have a body sooner? Why didn't we, you know, why isn't someone hit one with a truck?
Yeah.
Why don't we have pictures? You know, like, you're always going to have those questions, but I can tell you, like, once you experience something, It only heightens your interest in the reality of it. Like, I can remember after everything happened, just talking to Adam on the drive home about like how the family, we've talked about this, how the family units would function, and like just rational, you know, if they're real, how does that work? How do they work?
Sure.
Changes your perception of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And as obvious as it is to say, they'll continue a mystery until there's a specimen.
Yeah.
Which I guess would happen either accidentally, that's the big thing to me. That's the shock or the surprise, is that one hasn't been hit by a car. That just blows my mind, because people get hit by cars all the time, you know, and deer, all sorts of roadkill, but, that hasn't happened yet, which seems odd. Or, you know, one is obtained by those who are trying to do so. And until that moment, it'll just continue on as, you know, the biggest last mystery.
I mean, if you ever want to know how crazy the community is, go on YouTube and go to the Area X episode of On the Trail of Bigfoot and look in the comments. I mean, it's a special kind of crazy. We had to report people for death threats. I've pulled probably 100 comments or more off there that were just horribly profane and mean kind of, at this point I've given up. Yeah. We put up Minerva Monster for free on YouTube recently and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, those are your Bigfoot people. Like that's a lot of those people are your Bigfoot people. There's a lot of, the biggest thing going on is jealousy. There's just a ton of weird jealousy flying around. I think that does it for this week's episode of Monsteropolis. We'll be back next week. We're back on our regular schedule now. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming up over the next year. We did manage to put out, I think I saw 44 episodes in 1 year. So that's not bad. 44 episodes in 52 weeks, you know, mm-hmm. that's not too bad. That's better than our track record with Sasquatch the end when it was just you and me. So, so we'll try to do better than that this year and keep ahead of some of our scheduling issues. I think the biggest thing with SDM is always going to be a lot of what we're doing moves spontaneously. So 1 week I can have no plans to do anything the next week I can be in another state. So, mm-hmm. It's like, plus I have a 2-year-old. So,
right.
And you are a minister, so.
Yeah. Yes. There's spontaneous things with that as well, yeah. As you know.
So there's a lot of stuff. But thanks to everyone that listened to us for the last year. And I hope everyone had a happy new year. Thanks to everyone that sent questions over the last couple of weeks, and especially to Jared for sending that question in. That was a lot of fun. If you want to send a question in or send us an email, we may actually turn it into an entire episode of the show as well. monsteropolismail@gmail.com. Send us your questions. And we hope to see you guys on the Kickstarter and at Mysteries and Monsters at the Canton Palace Theater.
It's coming up fast.
March 21st. Tickets available, cantonpalacetheater.org. See you later.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.